Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful rendition. I've missed your ministration for some time. I can see I really missed a lot. I want to thank the chaplain, chairman of council, members of council, members of the church for giving me this opportunity this morning. As my usual style, I've been given 30 minutes. God willing, I hope to use about 2/3 of that time, 20 minutes. I would like to start with a brief prayer, if you will join me. Father in heaven, I give you thanks for this opportunity this morning to share your words amongst these great people. As we engage in this spiritual voyage, I pray that you will be present here in our midst and that you will detail this exploration of your word to your honor and to your glory. And at the end of it, only you will be praised in Jesus' name. Thank you. The title of today's topic is The Lost of the Gospel. The Lost of the Gospel. I will need the assistance of media in this presentation. The Lost of the Gospel. Please, are we seeing it? Okay? Now, if you look at that title, you will see it has essentially two keywords. What are the two keywords? Lost and gospel. Lost and gospel. Those are the keywords. What is the gospel? Some have implied that the gospel is the good news or tidings, especially the message of salvation preached by Jesus Christ and the apostles. The teaching of the Christian church. That is a definition of the gospel. Some have described the gospel as the portion of the scriptures read in church. A few have also opined that the gospel involves doctrines about human welfare that is usually of great import. Simply put, we can describe the gospel as that which is true. Sometimes we use the term gospel truth. Have you used the term before? Say, I'm saying the gospel truth, a kind of tautology. The narrative of Jesus Christ presented in the first four books of the New Testament has also been described as the gospel in biblical spheres. What is lost? Let's also define lost. What do you describe as lost? Lost is an adjective. It's actually an adjective. That which is not to be found, not to be won, used, or enjoyed any longer. Something that has wandered away. Something that has wandered away. Okay? Ruined physically, morally, or spiritually. When we suffer such ruin, that is described as the lost, as lost. Having defined the key words, it's important that we take a historic journey through, though briefly, on the book, The Ephesians, where our text, the title of this text. The title of this text is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians 2, 11 to 13. Now, the book of Ephesians was one of the epistles that was said to be written by Apostle Paul. Currently, however, some have also suggested that they may be other authors as to the origin of this book. It was written to the people at Ephesus at that time. While the first three chapters elaborate Christ and the church, the subsequent chapters deal with Christian living. The epistle to the Ephesians belongs to one of the New Testament documentations of Apostle Paul. I've said that before. A perusal of the Old Testament revealed the term lost refers to things that are not found, wandering away, or no longer in use. If we look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 3, can we see that? Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 3. You shall do the same with his donkey, and so you shall do with his garments. With anything lost, any lost thing of your brother's which he has lost and you have found, you shall likewise, you must not hide to yourself. So anything that your brother lost, something that got missing, your brother's sheep, his goat, his donkey, his animals, the thing that got missing, what is being described in Deuteronomy 22 is that you should return it. So normally we know that animals may wander away, sheep may wander away, and the Bible here is trying to teach us that lost in this sense means wandering away from your shepherd, from your owner. Okay? Similarly, in the New Testament, the term lost is used to describe possessions that have gone astray, e.g. the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Let's look at Luke 15, verse 4 to 6. Luke 15, verse 4 to 6. In Luke 15, verse 4 to 6, yes, what man of you have 100 sheep? If he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? If we go further to 24 and 32, we will see the story of the prodigal son. How a man had two sons, and one of them at one point felt he wanted all his own possessions and decided to wander away to enjoy and while away his life. But eventually, one day, he came back to his senses. And when his father saw him far off, he was so glad. So we feel with so much gratitude that this my son that was lost, now I have found him again. You can see that losing, okay, that feeling of losing something, and then you now gain it back eventually. You are filled with so much gratitude and so much joy. In the first verses of today's message, Apostle Paul spoke specifically to new converts. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That is verse 11 of chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 11. I move on to verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You can see in the first verses, Paul spoke specifically to new converts, reminding them of their previous disposition of uncircumcision based on the Jewish practice. Remember, God told Abraham to circumcise the males in his family, and that would be a sign. That would be the sign of the covenant that he had with Abraham and all his descendants, which includes yourself and myself. If we, however, peruse the beginning of that same chapter, we find that in verse 1, okay, that his target was not only to the physical Gentiles, but spiritual ones. If you look at this 11, verse 11, you will see, please, media, can you just project that for us? If you look at 11, he seems to be talking about Gentiles. Gentiles, which is a Latin word, okay, for those who are not Jews. They are described as Gentiles. Okay, he seemed to be describing those who are not Jews and those new converts that are not Jews. However, if you go back to verse 1 of this same chapter, Ephesians verse 1, you will see that God was actually talking about everyone who was a spiritual Gentile. A spiritual Gentile is one who is lost and saved, who may be a Jew, a non-Jew. So everyone who is lost in sin is a spiritual Gentile. So he was talking about, Apostle Paul was writing about the spiritual Gentiles, those who are spiritually lost, who are morally lost, not necessarily physically, not circumcised. Indeed, through physical, though physically separated by tradition of circumcision, these preceding verses suggest that even the Jews who were before now dead in trespasses and sins were also separated from the commonwealth of Israel. So physical circumcision does not give you total permission to enjoy the blessings that were promised Abraham. They were therefore lost. Those who are dead in their sins, are still in their sins, are described therefore as the lost. They have gone astray. Going astray, therefore, could be reasoned as a loss with physical, moral, and even spiritual dimensions, as detailed in the study verses. In verse 12, let's go to verse 12, Ephesians 2, verse 12. We see the emphasis on those who get spiritual Gentiles, described as aliens, alienated from the wealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant promise, having no hope since they have no God in the world. But our assurance is presented in verse 13. Can we look at verse 13? Verse 13. Our assurance is in verse 13. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For those who were made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, for those who believe, salvation, spiritual circumcision, not with that made by hands, but that in which the body of sins of the flesh have been excised by the intervention of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the sojourn in this case. The believing and accepting Jesus Christ is now the circumcision of our present day. That is what Apostle Paul is trying to say. Okay? That surgical removal of the foreskin that you do to your male child is a physical thing. Jesus Christ coming, dying for our sins, and we accepting him as our Lord and personal Savior, as the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith, is the circumcision of our day. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ, you are now spiritually circumcised. Before now, you are lost in sin. Before now, you are lost in immorality. Before now, you may present some moral sentiments and moral features. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the light, if you are yet to accept Jesus Christ as the way and truth and the light, you are still spiritually uncircumcised. And that door will not be open for you. Apostle Paul emphasized the role of Jesus Christ, who is central to the initial covenant and yet abolished the existing demarcation through his death on the cross. Ephesians 2:14-15. In Isaiah 57, it is chronicled that God will create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, said the Lord, I will hear him. Through Jesus Christ, therefore, we have access by one spirit to the Father. Let's look at verse 18. And we are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Despite the promises made to Abraham, and of course studied by his descendants, you see throughout the life of the Israelites, they showed many signs of disbelief. Okay? They showed so many signs of disbelief. The sign shows the Israelites in Egypt, the plagues against the Egyptians, God splitting the Red Sea, the pillar of fire by the night, the cloud of smoke by the day. If all that was not enough to convince many Israelites of the awesomeness of God, you can see no sooner have they entered, you know, the way, the wilderness towards the promised land, they began to murmur. Ah, why have you brought us here to die? We'd better go back to Egypt and go and enjoy some of the things we enjoy and continue to be slaves. And all this made God so angry. You can see that though they were circumcised physically, but in their hearts, deep down in their hearts, they were not circumcised. They grumbled severally. Let's look at Exodus 16 verse 3. 17 verse 3. ETC. Of course, God's anger burned over these actions of these. He considered these people the chosen ones. He has showed them so many signs and wonders, enough for them to show, know that yes, God is God, and to follow him in totality, yet they still grumble. God's mercy is endures forever, and he has assured us that when we are in difficulties, when we walk through the fire, when we walk through the water, we will not get consumed. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. Can we see that? Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. God has assured us in many ways through many signs. Yes? Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Yes? Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, church, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. This is a very popular verse for me. I think I know this verse a lot. I read it so much. Okay? So, if you look at it, it says, when you pass through the waters. It didn't say, if. As Christians, look at the meaning. When. That means, brothers and sisters, you know what that means? When. That time is going to come. Okay? That time will come. And it's not as if it may just be once. Don't expect that you pass through waters yesterday and it's all over. Life is a continuous challenge. You will keep seeing challenges. But the promise is also inserted in that verse. I will be with you. That awesome God. The God that split the Red Sea. The God that gave them quail. The God that gave them manna, bread that they did not even, you cannot even define. No chemistry has been able to understand manna that was given to the Israelites. The God that sent the plagues. The God that gave Abraham and his wife a child in their old age. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. That means the rivers will come. They may even get to your neck, but they will not overflow you. So in passing through challenges in life, you must realize what he's saying, what is there in the scriptures, is that God is always there. You should not make that mistake and begin to ask yourself, is there God? Okay, he is always there. They will not overflow you. They will come up, but they will not overflow you. In Jesus' name. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. Okay? Nor shall the flame scorch you. This same God that wrote this, inspired men to write this, is saying it. It is true. And it is life even today. Today, God is calling you. You who have gone astray because of the cares of the world. Those of us who have gone astray for the cares of the world. Those of us who are seeds that are falling by the wayside. Those of us who are seeds that are falling in thorns and choked by the cares of this world. You have to put bread on the table. You run here, you run there, you run there. You commit to the cares of this world. Those of us who never even had a solid foundation. When you are accosted by someone of another religion and they ask you, what is this Christianity? Can you tell me about the Christianity? You have nothing to say. Those days they used to, there used to be this program on one of the televisions in Bender State. They called the program Many Faces of Religion. For those of us who still remember, you will see they will place someone of the Islam faith, someone of the proposed Christian faith, someone of African traditional religion. They will pair all of them together. And so, yeah, let's discuss. When the Islamic scholar presents his own side of the story, you can see substance. You see knowledge, in-depth knowledge of what he's talking. The ATR person, African religion, will say his own. But many times, I often observed, at that time, I was quite young, that you see sometimes, I don't know whether it's deliberate, they put someone who seemed not to have, you know, a good routine, like a seed that fell by the rocky soil. And when the sun came, today, God is calling you. You who have gone astray, like the prodigal son. The prostituting Israelites, who even after experiencing the direct leadership of God, God was the one leading them. The Spirit of God was there. A pillar of fire by the night. A cloud of smoke to shade them from the scorching sun by the day. You palpated the presence of God. What did you do? Like a bloody prostitute. You went on and started asking that God should give you a king. You want to be like the other hating nations. They have kings, so we too should have king. How is the kingship today in Nigeria? How is the kingship? How is it affecting you now? You want to have a king, Abby? They didn't know. They were not aware that when God said, let me lead you, you are my chosen ones, directly. They were not aware that God knew that having a king, in having a king, you will suffer so much. Leave me, let me lead you. They said, no. Have you gone astray? Do we belong to this group of people who have chosen after the 18 nations? Are we like seeds that are falling on the rocky soil? Seeds that are falling by the wayside, that are picked up by the birds of the air? Are we choked by the cares of life? Are you lost to the word of God that you don't even understand the basis of what you are even doing here? Are you a Sunday physician? Are you a Sunday Christian? That when you are accosted with wahala in life, you now begin to bend to the right or to the left. Do you belong to that category? Are you lost to the gospel? God is calling you this morning. This is one time that you should once again rethink, reestablish your foundation. Reestablish what you are doing. What do you believe? What is God to you? And what are you to God? Take some time and think. Take some time and analyze. Take some time and pray that God should give you understanding for you to know what the essence, what your essence of living is. Is it to accumulate wealth? Is it because of power? Is it because of friendship? Is it because of family? Is it children? Did God have a particular reason why he allowed you, he permitted you to live even to today? Have you been able to converse, to interact with your God? Has your spirit man interacted with your God to understand what in God won't make I do for this life when I did so? Even today, we are hearing it every day. You see somebody today, tomorrow is gone. One thing or the other takes the person. God has permitted you to see, to listen to today's message. What is the reason? What are you supposed to learn? If this were the last, if you believe, would you after this attain heaven? May the Lord bless us even as we understand and contemplate these words in Jesus' name. Have you trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere? We are seeing today that you should never be discouraged. Even if you appear to have fallen into those who are lost of the gospel, God is still there. He has kept you to you today for a reason, and I believe he will see us through. Let us take all that we have learned, all that we know, and all that we will know, and God will teach us to the Lord in prayer. There's a popular song, choir please, and congregation, you will follow me to sing this song. We will not use musical. I want to hear your voices. It goes that, have you trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere? Temptations. There are trials everywhere. Thank you, choir. Instrumentals. Instruments, sir. We will not make use of your service today. For now. Congregation. Open 319. Congregation. Open 319. Choir, please lead us. In Jesus, our sins and griefs to bear. What a
the Lord will grant you grace to appreciate the essence of the gospel. Jesus was teaching the disciples and he said, the disciples and invariably the crowd, and he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisees, you will likewise perish. Have you appreciated the privilege of the gospel? Have you appropriated the privilege of the gospel? It's not enough to appreciate it. You need to appropriate it. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. Once you have spoken, and twice we have heard. Power, glory, and strength belong to you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. There is no doubt about it that you have addressed us this morning. And it's our humble prayer and desire that these words we have heard will not enter through the right ear and go out through the left. You will help us to comprehend and internalize that which we have heard. That on that great day, it will not stand against us. It will work for our salvation. You cannot die a second time. Therefore, help us to appropriate your word. That we will live the life that will reflect that indeed we are no longer lost of the gospel, but that we have been redeemed by the gospel. Grant us this grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to live our lives to reflect you at all times. Let the world know that we have a connection with you. Help us, O God, on a daily basis to lead a life that you will see us and you will call us your children. Grant us this grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the gospel not testify against us on the day of judgment. But let the gospel, O God, become a springboard that will launch us into your eternal kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. For your son you have used today, we ask that you will refill him for further use subsequently in the name of Jesus Christ. And we that have heard, help us, O God, to put these words into practice. Thank you, our Father. Be exalted and magnified forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now, before we close, let me say this. That the students in our midst, especially the newly admitted, the 100 level, and there are postgraduate students as well in the house. Immediately after the benediction, please don't hurry out. Whether today is your first time of being with us or you've been worshiping with us since you resumed, we want to see you. As soon as we close, I want all of you to sit in these two pews in front here. All the newly admitted students, my assistant and myself, we want to meet with you briefly. So please don't hurry out. Let me appeal to my president, the men's fellowship president. He will hold our meeting in the vestry so we can use the auditorium to attend to the new students. The closing hymn.
Now. I'm going to go to the hospital.